And now it's 6 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. It's time for another episode of Desert Island Dayton 88, where we'll introduce you to a local South African personality who'll be theoretically stranded on a desert island with just 5 songs of their choice, a book, and a real or fictional living or dead guest of their own to pass the time with. Discover what makes them tick, what inspires them, and the music that has shaped who they are today on Desert Island Date 88. Our Desert Island guest today is Victor Snyders, CEO and founder of the Skin Renewal Institute, together with his partner, Dr. Maureen Allam. He's the bold, she's the beautiful, she's the beauty, and he is the beast. They are a cohesive unit and a perfect example of male and female energy in balance. How very, very lovely introduction written by you, no doubt, Victor. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Great to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while, and obviously with COVID and all of those things that separate people, it's been a couple of years. But luckily, I believe your Skin Renewal Institute seems to have gone from strength to strength.
Yeah, COVID was a very interesting time. You know, the night that the president announced the lockdown, we were quite literally in shock, and we were pretty much paralyzed for 24 hours just trying to assimilate how deep this hole was going to go.
Yeah.
Because when you're running a business with 200 people and you've got a presence across the country, the bills don't stop, but the income dried up totally.
Yeah,
and we had no idea how long it was going to last. But after 24 hours, we came up with a strategy and a way of dealing with things. And in retrospect, although the journey was arduous, it was probably one of the better things that happened to us.
Yeah, we were speaking just before the show, and you were saying that so many folk now have got used to the fact that because of distance and separation and lockdown, Zoom was a big thing.
Absolutely.
And they saw themselves suddenly, because obviously a mirror image is what people normally see of themselves. They get used to the fact that you're backwards. And then suddenly when you see yourself as others really see you, mein Gott, I didn't realize I had this and that and the next. And then they want to fix it. And you guys are the experts.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a case of self-awareness. If you take a typical executive or business person that's sitting in meetings for 5 or 6 hours a day, they're looking at other people.
Yeah.
Put them on the Zoom screen in meetings for 5 or 6 hours a day, they will spend the majority of time looking at themselves.
And tell me, I presume this is true because it obviously we're in a very, very tactile, visual age. You have to look the part if you want to be taken seriously.
Absolutely. And, you know, people became aware of that. I think that COVID gave us all a jump back to reality and to our own mortality. You know, suddenly we were looking at our wills, we were looking at our banking, our financial arrangements.
Yeah.
And we had to get in touch with our own mortality.
Yeah.
And in looking at ourselves, we had the added advantage that people weren't traveling, they weren't going overseas, they weren't spending big money on new things. We saw a massive shift in income spend into home improvement, because that's where they were spending all their time, as well as into self-improvement.
Well, I was going to say, because now people suddenly who may have been apart most of the day or most of the week, because that's the way the dynamic tends to work, you're at work, and now you're together in lockdown, and now, obviously, you're seeing a lot of each other, and you think, oh, my word, do I look my best?
Well, you know, even in our case, you know, Maureen and I have been in business and been together for 18 years, and we're completely aligned in all our thinking. But come the start of lockdown, we were together 24/7.
Wow.
And after 4 months, we were quite frankly sick of each other.
Uh-huh.
I went down to Cape Town, and I looked after the Cape Town branches, and she stayed in Joburg and looked after the Joburg branches because we were driving each other nuts.
But at least you looked beautiful. And good to you. But on that note, we're talking about, obviously, the Skin Renewal Institute is well known because your advertising platform of choice in this case is the Voice of Belito. And it seems to have been a very wise choice, if I say so myself, because I hear only good things. And I hear a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. And people that have used your services have got nothing but praise. They say you tend to make them just better versions of themselves. You're not trying to create some sort of plastic image of someone else.
You know, it's always been the objective. But when Maureen and I started the business, we had a sit down when we realized this was not going to be a hobby, but was something that we had to take seriously. And we gave ourselves the task of establishing in 3 or 4 words why we were in business.
Mm.
And if the motive behind business is to make money, then you're in it for the wrong reason. The business needs to make money so that you can do something which is more important. And it was getting that. And what we wanted to do was to transform lives. We obviously have to make a profit, otherwise we've got to stop doing it.
Sure.
And it was interesting that Simon Sinek, who's a very, very well-known corporate speaker in the States, about 4 years later wrote a book called Why, which is finding out the why behind why you start a business or why you're in a business.
Well, there's a whole bunch of folk around the country that are delighted that you did just that. And now we're going to find out a little bit more about you, about Victor, through the fact that because you're on a desert island now for a while, you can take five tunes only, one book, and a special guest. So let's get into that. I mean, your first choice of tune is very interesting. And I noticed that you've selected one from the 70s, one from the 80s, 90s, noughties, and the 10s. So you're going to be telling us a story, the story of your life.
Well, you know, when you gave me the task, one's initial way of tackling this is to try and take five favorite songs that you have.
Yeah.
And those would be songs that people know, but they don't have a very special personal meaning, although they're absolutely great songs. And instead, I decided to try and do it as the story of my own life and the songs which would epitomize the decisions and the circumstances that happened in each of the decades and why that song would have been relevant.
So we start with the Cat Stevens number. You've chosen it. Why?
So it's a very interesting song. If one listens carefully to Cat Stevens on it, he actually sings the song in two tones. When he's the father, he sings in a slightly deeper tone. And when he's the son, he speaks in a slightly higher tone. So he does differentiate these two people. And essentially, it's this battle between father and son, which is founded in love and caring, but the son is going to go his own way and not follow in his father's footsteps. And his father's trying to impart the words of wisdom, settle down, find a wife, get married, have children, do all of these things. And the son says, it's time for me to go. And that's very much what happened to me when I finished my school years in the mid-70s. My father had always wanted me to follow in his business. He was an antique dealer. And he wanted me to go to Oxford University and study antiquities and learn the trade at Sotheby's and Christie's. And
you wanted to make people beautiful.
No, not at all. I went and studied architecture instead.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. Was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. Explain when I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Thank you. It's not time to make a change. Just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it.
Father and son, Cat Stevens, first choice from our guest for the Desert Island Date 88 on this particular Wednesday, Victor Snyders from the Skin Renewal Institute. And that, what a great selection. I mean, that was, that takes back, it takes me, I mean, I don't, would never have said it was from the 70s. I mean, for me, it's still a new song.
Just made it into the 70s, 79.
A beautiful choice. And you say that you went your own way. Your dad wanted you to go to Oxford, study antiquities, and become an antiques dealer. You wanted to become an architect. So how did that go? How did that work?
Pretty well. I came down to Durban, studied at University of Natal for 76 till 79. The Natal lifestyle eventually got to me. And I realized that if I stayed in Natal, I would probably not finish the degree, which was 6 years, because I was led astray.
This is part of growing up. You have to be led astray, especially at university.
And especially
otherwise
in Durban.
Otherwise, you're ignoring your friends. But you made it through the... it's a tough degree, architecture.
It was. It was a 6-7 year degree. And I then actually left Durban at the end of 79. And I moved back to Johannesburg, completed the degree at Wits, and then started life.
Did you practice as an architect?
I did practice as an architect. I was already working and doing quite a number of jobs while I was still studying. And then my career got interrupted by having to go to the army.
Which leads us to the second song in your bag of tricks.
Partly that was army. It was really a case of, you know, now that I had gone my own way, I was on my own. And I realized that doing everything on your own is probably not that easy after all. You need to form friendships, you need to form alliances, you need to build up contacts, and you need to work with other people. And the army obviously inculcated that as well. And a very disruptive 2 years. I know we were reminiscing about it earlier.
I sometimes think, a lot of people think, this is the finest time of their lives. For me, not so. I don't know about you, but I could have done without it seriously. But I understand where this is coming from. And I understand this tune. This is the most marvelously poignant and your second choice in your bag of five tunes for Desert Island Date 88. Dire Straits. Brothers in Arms.
These mist-covered mountains are all now for me. And your soul. Every man has to die. But it's written in the stars, in every line in your palm, we're fools to make one.
Wow. The Power and the Glory. Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler, Brothers in Arms, and the second choice of my special guest this afternoon on Desert Island Date 88, Victor Snyder's lovely tune, and so relevant to not only then, but also now with the situation in Russia, well, in the Ukraine. And we don't have a happy outcome there. I don't think it's going to be over for a long, long time, but we pray for the best. Moving onwards and upwards. So there it was. You now a segue out of your fabulous military career as a minesweeper, or what was it?
I ended up doing cartography.
Okay. So you used your architectural drawing skills.
Luckily enough, I was able to use those.
And after that, what happened?
Well, then I took the advice of what my father said in the original song, got married, had kids, got a job, joined corporate, started building alliances, getting to know people.
Was this now as a cartographer, as an architect?
So that was where I think my first career changed. So I joined OK Bazaars and I became a design architect for them. And in those days, OK Bazaars was building a lot of shopping centres, and they would take the head lease on the shopping centre, and then that shopping centre would have to get managed and let. So I had they asked me to move off the drawing board and to take over as the National Shopping Centre manager, which was an entirely new field.
Wow. Was Mervyn Cerebro in the picture?
Mervyn was the guy who employed me.
Okay. Nice Benoni boy.
Absolutely. So Mervyn was my first mentor. He was a man who taught me a lot about business ethics and the way of doing everything right. And it was interesting because Mervyn was my boss, but his boss was Gordon Hood, who ran a business very differently to the way Mervyn did. So I was with OK Bazaars, and then my entire career shifted into the shopping center industry, which is where I spent the next 20-odd years.
Wow. So how did the shift come from that to Skin Renewal Institute?
That's what love does to you. You know, some decisions are made with the heart, but that only happens in the noughties.
Okay.
So we're still moving from the 80s to the 90s.
So the 90s, you've selected your third song. But before we get there, let's talk about the book that you want to take with you, because it's a little bit of a shift.
Dave, it's a very, very difficult one, because it's one of two books. The first one would be The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. It's a book I've probably read 20 times, and it has never been the same book. It's a book which is very, very anecdotal. It's a very much just a story about a shepherd boy who gets a vision in an old deserted church in Catalonia and decides he has to travel to the pyramids. But it is a story which is unbelievably deep. And what was interesting, it was the second book written by Paulo Coelho. The first book he wrote was called The Pilgrimage, which was the story of the Castilian walk that he did across Spain, which is a pilgrimage, and it didn't sell. So he rewrote the story as The Alchemist, because now it was the shepherd boy and his adventure traveling to Egypt, but it was actually the identical story. And it sold so well that people started buying The Pilgrimage, and then they realized that was actually the same book,
okay, but
told in a totally different way. And every time I've read that book, I've gained something from it, another story.
You've read it 20 times, and you're going to take it with you and read it another 20?
Absolutely.
And for the rest of your life, maybe
it'll be a
seminar.
It's a book that never stops giving.
Well, now, if ever there was a recommendation for a work, that would be it. Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist. I actually confess I have read it, and it's magnificent. I only read it once, though. See, I managed to get it the first time. I'm only joking.
Then the other one was probably the book that's had the biggest effect on my life in the last 15, 20 years is Yuval Harari's Sapiens.
Okay.
The history of the human race.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible book.
Does he, in that book, acknowledge there might be some interference from beyond in the creation of a hybrid species or not?
No.
Okay.
You know, I think
So it's not that kind of book.
and it's told in such a way because it's subject matter that could so easily be dry and be a textbook, yeah. And yet it's a story. Just how things evolved and how they happened, and it teaches an enormous amount about human behavior and why we do so many things that we do without realizing why we do those.
So there you go, two choices, Sapiens and The Alchemist, and now getting back to the music, because that's what we do. That's what we do best on 88. Next up, you've chosen a Pink Floyd tune, but not one of their sort of top 20 hits. So this is different.
So Pink Floyd had to be on the list. As I said to you earlier, I was listening to Pink Floyd when my schoolmates were listening to ABBA. I grew up in an alternative universe. And Pink Floyd, I still believe today, is the greatest band that there has ever been. But what I chose was the very last song that they did on the very last album that they did. The album was The Division Bell, and the song was High Hopes. Because I left corporate, and I went on my own, and decided that I was going to make a living on my own, and I had high hopes.
Go down this road we've been so many times. The grass was greener. The light was brighter. The taste was sweeter. The nights of wonder. The dawn is glowing. The water flowing.
Pink Floyd, High Hopes. Yet another of the choice of five tunes that my special guest Victor Snyders from the Skin Renewal Institute on our Desert Island Date 88 this Wednesday has selected, because, well, you had high hopes then. You'd ventured into the world of business and enterprise, and it's always tough, you know, especially when you've got family responsibilities. And if you're on your own, you can take flyers and go for it, but when you've got serious responsibilities, high hopes, absolutely, but you also got to put in a ton of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And the work took its toll. You know, I was working 18, 20 hours a day, put an enormous strain on my marriage. I was probably not there enough for my kids in those years, but I took on the role of the provider. So as long as they had the house and the car and the two dogs and the swimming pool and the things that was sort of obligatory, I felt that I was doing my duty. But
looking back now, do you think possibly maybe? Well, you can never.
You know,
go back,
I've never had regrets because I would not be where I am today had I not made the missteps of the past. Yeah. They are what they are, and we learned lessons out of them. I could have done it differently. But where that would have led me to today, who knows?
Sure, you can never go back.
But it was an interesting time. And then we got to the end of the 90s. The business was successful. My marriage was not so successful. And in the early 2000s came time to wind up a whole lot of things. The process of winding that had an enormous emotional toll as well, which eventually meant that the business also had to die.
Wow.
Because everything died with it. And essentially it was time for a new start, but first one had to gather one's thoughts. And I took essentially an 18-month break, which I called the Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul, which was also a book written by Douglas Adams, to reconsider and to think about everything, what was important, why, the wherefores, and reprioritize my life and what I was doing. And it was a time of enormous introspection, quite a lot of depression. And out of that came the next chapter of my life. But it really started off on those very low notes, and hence the title of the fourth song.
Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yeah.
Empty street.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.
The fourth choice of five that my very special guest on this edition of the show, Victor Snyders on Desert Island Date 88, has selected to take with him on his hypothetical sojourn into the wilderness. It's Green Day's Boulevard of Broken Dreams, I Walk Alone. But now I'm just thinking about it. On your Desert Island Date, you're not going to be walking alone because you're going to be taking a companion. You could choose anyone you like, living or dead, real or fictional. And you have chosen, in fact, you've cheated here because I see you're going to take two people.
I've got to take, firstly, a person that I think is an enigma and somebody that I've always really wanted to understand, but a person I found inspirational, and that's a person out of history, which is Winston Churchill. The right man at the right time, a man with many flaws, but he was there at the right time to galvanize the world against what was happening.
He's an interesting choice. As you say, a man with many flaws. Many of those flaws have been glossed over in history.
Absolutely.
But he was deeply conflicted.
Very.
And he'd had a fairly successful first part of his life and then was kind of consigned to the scrap heap your career's finished as a politician, as a statesman. Goodbye, Winston. Comes Second World War, and suddenly, oh my word, we need a leader. And who do they go back to? The old scrap heap, and there he is. And that's when he reached his zenith, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I've watched every movie about him. I've read every book about him. I still can't figure him out. He was just an astonishing person. He also had a mastery of the English language that was
beautiful.
Absolutely fantastic.
And you like that anecdote of when he was engaging with a woman who believed that he'd had one too many, and said, "Mr. Churchill, you are drunk, sir." He said, "Madam, you are ugly, but in the morning I'll be sober."
So I actually have a book which is the collected sayings of Winston Churchill. And one of the favorites, which they don't actually know, one of my favorites, which they don't know which he actually said or not, but it was his ability to think quickly and respond to something. And someone came up to him and said, "Mr. Churchill, you will either die on the gallows or of syphilis." And he responded, "Well, that would all depend on whether I embraced your principles or your mistress."
Wow, as you say, never one to hold back, and also a lot of it anecdotal, no possibility of ever confirming, but a character that has certainly left an indelible mark, and you would like to take him on your sojourn and spend time.
So in the hope that I could figure him out. On the other side, I would take Maureen, my partner, with me.
You know how many of our guests have said they'll take their partners because they're scared when they get home? If they hadn't said that.
In my case, that isn't the reason. I think she's one of the most inspirational people that I've met. She's certainly one of the smartest people I've ever met. And Maureen has a particular saying which always fills me with a shiver. She says, "Vic, I've been thinking." And then I know the challenge is on because there's a new thing coming ahead. And she keeps me thinking.
Wow.
I do not get a moment's respite because she can think faster than I can act.
Well,
and it's a great relationship. And she makes life so incredibly interesting. Not always nice. Challenging, yeah. Everything, but man, is it interesting.
So you're looking forward to the trip, hypothetically, but for the rest of life together, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Isn't that just special? Lucky man, lucky man.
Thank you.
And on that note, we reach our our selection of the fifth and final tune that you would like to take with you on your Desert Island Date 88. It takes us to the 2010s, and it's an interesting selection, and I was rather curious as to why you selected a tune by War on Drugs, and I didn't want to delve too deeply, but you can tell us why.
So, War on Drugs is an American band out of Philadelphia, together with the Dave Matthews Band, which comes from this region originally. War on Drugs and Dave Matthews Band are probably the two biggest live concert bands in the States. They will sell out 100,000, 200,000 tickets, absolutely no problem. The band is out of Philadelphia. The leader of the band is a guy called Alan Granduciel, who is an astonishing musician. He has drawn his inspiration from Dylan, from Neil Young, the Eagles, Springsteen, Tom Petty, Bob Seger. A lot of those early rock things have been the influence in his music. At the same time, he tells stories with his music. They are not just simply arrangements for, you know, two guys, a guitar and a drum kit. The band is six or seven members, depending on how it appears. And it's a many-layered approach to music. There's an immense amount of subtlety and build and growth in the songs. And the song I've chosen is off their 2014 album. It's a song called The Ocean Between the Waves. And for me, it really epitomized those next 10 years because it's the ocean, not the waves.
What a conclusion. The war on drugs is an ocean in between the waves. We've been listening to Desert Island Date on 88 with my very special guest, Victor Snyders, the CEO and founder of the Skin Renewal Institute. What a pleasure it is. We've been through the decades, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the noughties, and the 10s. We just wonder what the next decade brings with it. But we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there.
Haven't found a song for the 20s yet.
It hasn't over yet. It's not over till it's over. And the best, as they say, is yet to come. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you, reminiscing a little bit. And I look forward to finding that next couple of installments, if you like, in the never-ending story, which, of course, will continue in a month's time when we do. We're now doing Desert Island Date 88 once a month. If you would like to be featured or would like us to feature one of your favorite people, drop us a line to info@lifeandstyle.co.za and we will certainly take up the cudgels. But it has been a real treat to interface with your friend and mine, Victor Snyders, the man that makes you look beautiful. Thank you, Victor, for sharing those the memories, the stories, the songs, the guests, the books. And, well, you know, it's one of those wonderful things in life that the best, they say, is always yet to come. We look forward to that tremendously.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Dave. Been a really enjoyable trip down memory lane.
Until the next time. And the afternoon show continues.